No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, and no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill, and today is the 28th day of June. Welcome, everyone. It's a joy to be here with you in this brand new week. It's all a clean slate right here in front of us. Brand new chance to do it all over again. And we have that every minute of every day. It's never too late. May we choose wisely. Today we are reading 1 Kings chapters 20 and 21, and it is a brand new week. Therefore, we will begin a brand new journey and a brand new translation. This week we are reading the Contemporary English Version. 1 Kings chapter 20. King Ben-Hadad of Syria called his army together. He was joined by 32 other kings with their horses and chariots, and together they marched to Samaria and attacked. Ben-Hadad sent a messenger to tell King Ahab of Israel, "Ahab, give me your silver and gold, your wives and your strongest sons." "Your Majesty," Ahab replied, "everything I have is yours, including me." Later, Ben-Hadad sent another messenger to say to Ahab, "I already told you to give me your silver and gold, your wives and your children, but tomorrow at this time, I will send my officials into your city to search your palace and the houses of your officials. They will take everything else that you own." Ahab called a meeting with the leaders of Israel and said, "Ben-Hadad is causing real trouble. He told me to give him my wives and children as well as my silver and gold, and I agreed." "Don't listen to him," they answered. "You don't have to do what he says." So Ahab sent someone to tell Ben-Hadad, "Your Majesty, I'll give you my silver and gold and even my wives and children, but I won't let you have anything else." When Ben-Hadad got his answer, he replied, "I'll completely destroy Samaria. There won't even be enough of it left for my soldiers to carry back in their hands. If I don't do it, I pray that the gods will punish me terribly." Ahab then answered, "Ben-Hadad, don't brag before the fighting even begins. Wait and see if you live through it." Meanwhile, Ben-Hadad and the other kings had been drinking in their tents. But when Ahab's reply came, he ordered his soldiers to prepare to attack Samaria. And they all got ready. At that very moment, a prophet ran up to Ahab and said, "You can see that Ben-Hadad's army is very strong, but the Lord has promised to help you defeat them today. Then you will know that the Lord is in control." "Who will fight the battle?" Ahab asked. The prophet answered, "The young bodyguards who serve the district officials." "But who will lead them into battle?" Ahab asked. "You will," the prophet replied. So Ahab called together the 232 young soldiers and the 7,000 troops in Israel's army, and he got them ready to fight the Syrians. At noon, King Ahab and his Israelite army marched out of Samaria with the young soldiers in front. King Ben-Hadad of Syria and the 32 kings with him were drunk when the scouts he had sent out ran up to his tent shouting, "We just now saw soldiers marching out of Samaria." "Take them alive," Ben-Hadad ordered. "I don't care if they have come out to fight or to surrender." The young soldiers led Israel's troops into battle, and each of them attacked and killed an enemy soldier. The rest of the Syrian army turned and ran, and the Israelites went after them. Ben-Hadad and some others escaped on horses, but Ahab and his soldiers followed them and captured their horses and chariots. Ahab and Israel's army crushed the Syrians. Later, the prophet went back and warned Ahab, "Ben-Hadad will attack you again next spring. Build up your troops and make sure you have some good plans." Meanwhile, Ben-Hadad's officials went to him and explained, "Israel's gods are mountain gods. We fought Israel's army in the hills, and that's why they defeated us. But if we fight them on flat land, there's no way we can lose. Here's what you should do. First, get rid of those 32 kings and put army commanders in their place. Then get more soldiers, horses and chariots, so your army will be as strong as it was before. We'll fight Israel's army on flat land and wipe them out." Ben-Hadad agreed and did what they suggested. In the spring, Ben-Hadad got his army together and they marched to the town of Aphek to attack Israel. The Israelites also prepared to fight. They marched out to meet the Syrians, and the two armies camped across from each other. The Syrians covered the whole area, but the Israelites looked like two little flocks of goats. The prophet went to Ahab and said, "The Syrians think the Lord is a god of the hills and not of the valleys, so he has promised to help you defeat their powerful army. Then you will know that the Lord is in control." For 7 days, the two armies stayed in their camps facing each other. Then on the seventh day, the fighting broke out, and before sunset, the Israelites had killed 100,000 Syrian troops. The rest of the Syrian army ran back to Aphek, but the town wall fell and crushed 27,000 of them. Ben-Hadad also escaped to Aphek and hid in the back room of a house. His officials said, "Your Majesty, we've heard that Israel's kings keep their agreements. We will wrap sackcloth around our waists, put ropes around our heads, and ask Ahab to let you live." They dressed in sackcloth and put ropes on their heads. Then they went to Ahab and said, "Your servant Ben-Hadad asks you to let him live." "Is he still alive?" Ahab asked. "Ben-Hadad is like a brother to me." Ben-Hadad's officials were trying to figure out what Ahab was thinking, and when he said, "Brother," they quickly replied, "You're right. You and Ben-Hadad are like brothers." "Go get him," Ahab said. When Ben-Hadad came out, Ahab had him climb up into his chariot. Ben-Hadad said, "I'll give back the towns my father took from your father, and you can have shops in Damascus just as my father had in Samaria." Ahab replied, "If you do these things, I'll let you go free." Then they signed a peace treaty, and Ahab let Ben-Hadad go. About this time, the Lord commanded a prophet to say to a friend, "Hit me." But the friend refused, and the prophet told him, "You disobeyed the Lord, and as soon as you walk away, a lion will kill you." The friend left, and suddenly a lion killed him. The prophet found someone else and said, "Hit me." So this man beat him up. The prophet left and put a bandage over his face to disguise himself. Then he went and stood beside the road waiting for Ahab to pass by. When Ahab went by, the prophet shouted, "Your Majesty, right in the heat of battle, someone brought a prisoner to me and told me to guard him. He said if the prisoner got away, I would either be killed or forced to pay 3,000 pieces of silver. But I got busy doing other things and the prisoner escaped." Ahab answered, "You will be punished just as you have said." The man quickly tore the bandage off his face, and Ahab saw that he was one of the prophets. The prophet said, "The Lord told you to kill Ben-Hadad, but you let him go. Now you will die in his place, and your people will die in place of his people." Ahab went back to Samaria, angry and depressed. Naboth owned a vineyard in Jezreel near King Ahab's palace. One day Ahab said, "Naboth, your vineyard is near my palace. Give it to me so I can turn it into a vegetable garden. I'll give you a better vineyard or pay whatever you want for yours." Naboth answered, "This vineyard has always been in my family. I won't let you have it." So Ahab went home, angry and depressed because of what Naboth had told him. He lay on his bed, just staring at the wall and refusing to eat a thing. Jezebel, his wife, came in and asked, "What's wrong? Why won't you eat?" "I asked Naboth to sell me his vineyard or to let me give him a better one," Ahab replied, "and he told me I couldn't have it." "Aren't you the king of Israel?" Jezebel asked. "Get out of bed and eat something. Don't worry. I'll get Naboth's vineyard for you." Jezebel wrote a letter to each of the leaders of the town where Naboth lived. In the letters, she said, "Call everyone together and tell them to go without eating today. When they come together, give Naboth a seat at the front. Get two liars to sit facing him and swear that Naboth has cursed God and the king. Then take Naboth outside and stone him to death." She signed Ahab's name to the letters and sealed them with his seal. Then she sent them to the town leaders. After receiving her letters, they did exactly what she had asked. They told the people that it was a day to go without eating, and when they all came together, they seated Naboth at the front. The two liars came in and sat across from Naboth. Then they accused him of cursing God and the king, so the people dragged Naboth outside and stoned him to death. The leaders of Jezreel sent a message back to Jezebel that said, "Naboth is dead." As soon as Jezebel got their message, she told Ahab, "Now you can have the vineyard Naboth refused to sell. He's dead." Ahab got up and went to take over the vineyard. The Lord said to Elijah the prophet, "King Ahab of Israel is in Naboth's vineyard right now, taking it over. Go tell him that I say, 'Ahab, you murdered Naboth and took his property.' And so, in the very spot where dogs licked up Naboth's blood, they will lick up your blood." When Elijah found him, Ahab said, "So, my enemy, you found me at last." Elijah answered, "Yes, I did. Ahab, you have managed to do everything the Lord hates. Now you will be punished. You and every man and boy in your family will die, whether slave or free. Your whole family will be wiped out, just like the families of King Jeroboam and King Baasha. You've made the Lord very angry by sinning and causing the Israelites to sin. And as for Jezebel, dogs will eat her body there in Jezreel. Dogs will also eat the bodies of your relatives who die in town, and vultures will eat the bodies of those who die in the country." When Ahab heard this, he tore his clothes in sorrow and wore sackcloth day and night. He was depressed and refused to eat. Sometime later, the Lord said, "Elijah, do you see how sorry Ahab is for what he did? I won't punish his family while he is still alive. I'll wait until his son is king." No one was more determined than Ahab to disobey the Lord, and Jezebel encouraged him. Worst of all, he had worshipped idols, just as the Amorites had done before the Lord forced them out of the land and gave it to Israel. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the reminder of this brand new week and this new beginning that we have to start fresh and begin again and again and again. May we understand the impact and the influence of every word, every thought, every deed. And may we choose wisely with everything we say, everything we do, everything we choose this week. And may it be glorifying to you. We give you this week. Have your way. Open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, and our hearts to receive. And I pray this all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Looking forward to a beautiful week with each and every one of you. Until then, love one another.
Hi, good morning, DABC community. This is Mary from North Carolina. I am calling in. It is June the 24th. I'm calling in to pray for baby Ella, the little baby with the burns. And you've been on my heart, little sweetheart, for a while now. So I'm just going to ask God to just envelop you with his love. Father, you are the God of the Red Sea, parting the Red Sea, who made dry bones live, Father, who resurrected the Son of God himself, Father. That means you have all power and ability. May you create doorways that seem to be none in place right now for baby Ella. May you give her favor, her family favor, and the doctor's favor with people to reach out to help this baby. And Father, in the meantime, give the ability to the nurses and doctors, heal through their hands, Father. You're able to do anything, the impossible, even touch where the scalpel and stuff cannot reach, Father. So I'm asking you in the name of Jesus, Father, to give this family hope. Give them peace. Give them assurance. Let them see, open their eyes, that they may see the wondrous things out of your law and the path that you are creating. You are the mighty creator, Elohim. Father, I know that you have a beautiful plan for this baby and this family. And Father, as you continue to work out all the details, because you are Lord of the details, Let them see you in a fresh way. Let the people around them see you, especially the ones that may not know you, Lord. And Father, we just give you the praise and glory in advance. Love you all out there. Praying for everybody. Have a good week. Blessings and much love.
Hi, this is Victoria Soldier. Just calling to pray for my precious sister Maya and a precious little baby daughter. I'm sorry that things have gotten turned around and you're getting so much direction. I'm just asking God, He's not an author of confusion. Lord, I ask that you steady it and you let your divine will be done. We know that even in a baby that young, that regeneration can come in. Oh, Father, we don't know why you're allowing the confusion, but you have a plan for our life. And I want you to encourage that husband and wife, my precious sister Mia. I know you're looking at your precious baby and wondering, God, you are with her. You be with her. You be with that precious little baby. And Lord, you work a miracle as only you can do. Nothing's impossible for you. You are mighty and a holy God. You touch them, Lord. You strengthen them, and you guide those doctors to do what is impossible to them, but it's possible with you. You guide their hands, Lord, and let your divine will be done in Jesus' name. Love you, Mia. We're with you. Don't worry. We're right with you every step of the way. Lord, bless her and bless her precious husband and the family. In Jesus' name, and little Maya.
Hey, DABC community, this is Divinely Blessed, calling from North Dakota, and I just wanted to call in because there were a few prayers that were called in previously that I listened to, and I have not yet let them know that I was calling for them. So, Kristen, a.k.a. Christ and Me, I first want to thank you because I know that you have prayed for me and my family multiple times. And I wanted to pray for you. I can completely understand what you're going through in the relationship between your sister and you, as my brother and I are my brothers, and I don't really have the best relationship as well. So, dear Heavenly Father, please help Kristen and her sister be able to mend the fences and the bond that has been broken between them. Please allow Kristen the ability to visit her sister when she is in the area that her sister is living in currently, and please help them to move forward in life together as they walk in your way to the glory of your holy name. Amen. I would also like to pray for Maya. I believe that's your name. You had called in, and I listened to it. I can't remember what day it was, but you are asking for prayers for your sweet baby girl who has burns all over her body. And I'm sorry, I'm getting emotional just talking about it. I just wanted to let you know, I heard your heart when you called in. And I have to say that I am so incredibly impressed about your strength for calling and your strong, positive mindset, because I can't imagine. I have four daughters myself, so I just wanted to pray for you too. Dear Heavenly Father, please come and heal her baby girl's body, heal these keloids that she is now experiencing, and help her to be completely free of pain and the itchiness that she is feeling. Dear Heavenly Father, please, we know that you are the great physician and that you have the ultimate gift of healing, and so we